مرحبا يا مصطفى The grand arrival of مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم The grand arrival of مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم مرحبا يا مصطفى. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the silsila The Blessed Arrival. And as you've known by now that we do discuss beautiful aspects from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, alhamdulillah, we do have a very interesting topic of discussion, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's farewell hajj. And inshallah, we will also be mentioning the parting advice, the words of wisdom that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to his companions and mentioned to us, the Ummah at large. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the farewell hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's mentioned that during Hajjatul Wida, the farewell hajj, which was the final hajj performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his apparent lifetime. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the plains of Arafah. So the companion, Sayyidina Abbas bin Mirdas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he explains a specific dua, a specific prayer made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this occasion at night. And this companion, he said that the dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making was for his beloved ummah to be forgiven and to be shown mercy. And in another narration, the words فَأَكْثَرَ الدُّعَاءَ can be found, which means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only make dua once, but repeated one many times over, which was, O Allah, forgive my ummah, send mercy upon them. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wahi, sent a revelation in which he declared that, my beloved, we have accepted your dua and forgiven your ummah, except for the oppressors, as retribution for the oppressed will certainly be taken from them. And upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O my Rabb, if you be pleased, you can grant the oppressed Jannah and forgive the oppressor. And like this, the oppressed will receive his justice, and the oppressor will be shown mercy. Now, regarding this dua, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not receive a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to Muzdalifah, and the following morning, a beautiful, matchlessly smile appeared on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam, and Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, when they saw this, they said that, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. This is a time in which you do not usually smile. What has made you smile? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you smiling. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, and he said that when Shaitan found out that
Allah Ta'ala has forgiven my entire ummah. He placed dirt on his head. He began wailing and he ran away. And seeing his agitation, this has made me smile. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Under this hadith, Mufti Ahmed Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he gives a very beautiful explanation of this. He says that the apparent meaning of the ummah here, it refers to all those who will perform Hajj until the day of Qiyamah. So in this case, the meaning of this prophetic dua will become, O Allah, whoever from my ummah who comes to perform Hajj, may they be completely forgiven and may none of their sins remain. Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua and gave the glad tidings of forgiveness to those who perform Hajj. Now here too, it should be kept in mind that the reward, the thawab of an accepted Hajj is forgiveness of sins. And an accepted Hajj is one in which a person performs all his salah, etc. So this hadith now is not saying that conveniently a person can now abandon all salah for his entire life. Now he can go and drink alcohol, he can go and engage himself in fornication, but is then forgiven for everything by performing Hajj. No, rather, one must sincerely repent from all these sins and never ever approach them again. Inshallah, that person, he will be forgiven for his previous mistakes. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Imagine, dear viewers of Madani Channel, if only we as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become those who remember these favors of our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, despite being the best of all creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent his nights crying for us, he spent his nights shedding tears for you and I, whilst his ummati, his followers, we sleep in complete heedlessness. As we see from this narration, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was making dua for us at the farewell Hajj. And what dua was that? That dua was that, O Allah, forgive my ummah and show mercy upon my ummah. So this was the final Hajj performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his physical life, in which he gave parting advice to the ummah as a whole. Now one may ask that, how many times did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform Hajj? And scholars of Islam, they say that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah before the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform Hajj every year. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed only one Hajj after Hijrah. And Hajj, it was made obligatory, it was made fard in the 9th year of Hijrah. But due to certain reasons, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform it himself that year. And instead, he appointed Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu as his representative to lead the Hajj proceedings. And subhanAllah, this also, it was actually an indication that Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would be the first Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the next year came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself then performed Hajj. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, Hajj became fard in the 9th year of Hijrah. And now it was the 10th year of Hijri. And it had been announced in Madinatul Munawwara, as well as among tribes across the land, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be leading those who went to Makkah al-Mukarramah to carry out Hajj this year. Allahu Akbar. What a journey. Can you imagine that? What a journey it must have been, that traveling to Makkah al-Mukarramah in the blessed company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all creation. Imagine being honored to perform tawaf of the Kaaba and fulfill the rites of the loving act of worship that is Hajj. Under who? Under his sacred guidance, the sacred guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in his blessed company. Now the companions, alayhim ridwan, they were happy. They were overjoyed after hearing this news. All who heard about this, they felt elated upon their good fortune and began their preparations for this blessed journey. And as the days of Hajj, it approached, their love and devotion, it began to increase. And caravan after caravan arrived in Madinatul Munawwara. The streets, Allahu Akbar, the streets of Medina and its marketplaces increased in liveliness. It became more lively. Everyone was in high spirits. Everyone was in a happy mode. Everyone was joyous. Such a unique, unique blessing that today pilgrims, they all gaze lovingly upon the Gumbad-e-Khazra, upon the sacred and blessed green dome. And they find peace, they find refreshment of their faith, of the Iman, in looking at the blessed golden gates parallel to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacred grave. And whilst the companions alayhim ridwan were quenching their thirst of their love, of their devotion, by gazing directly upon the matchless beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these were the companions alayhim ridwan, the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were people with unique destinies. You know, if only for their sake, our destinies also shine. And we are also blessed to visit Madinatul Munawwara. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we be granted the honor of seeing the greatest Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dreams and in wakefulness. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So, dear viewers of Madinah channel, on Saturday, the 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah, in the 10th Hijri year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he offered Dhuhr Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, performed fresh ghusl, and prepared for this great journey, and set off with such grandeur for Hajj that Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that front, the back, the right and the left, wherever anyone looked, people were all over the place. And at some distance from Madinatul Munawwara, there is an area known as Dhul Hulayfa. This is the miqat for the residents of Madinatul Munawwara. And the miqat is the boundary where those intending to perform Hajj or Umrah, they must enter in Ihram. So having arrived there, the caravan now, it was ordered to stop. And as the journey had begun, Asr Salah was offered as Qasr, meaning in two rak'ats instead of four. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent the entire night at this place. The next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed fresh ghusl before Dhuhr and he tied on his blessed ihram. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he offered Dhuhr Salah there and then sat on top of his blessed camel, which was Qaswa, which was named Qaswa. So according to narrations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered two rak'ats of salah after tying the ihram and recited the talbiyah, that is labbaik Allahumma labbaik, and then recited it again after sitting on top of his camel. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to a nearby mountain named Baydha and said aloud, in a loud voice, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. When thousands of companions alayhim ridwan, when they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting this, they also began to chant it out aloud, and the entire valley, it began to ring with the echoes of labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Now this distinguished convoy, under the leadership of who? Under the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walked at a moderate pace towards Makkatul Mukarramah, sometimes stopping to offer salah. And many companions alayhim ridwan, who were unable to make it to Madinatul Munawwara, they joined them on the way. Now, on the 4th of Dhul Hijjah, they reached a valley near Makkatul Mukarramah known as the Tuwa. And over there, they stayed for one night. They offered the Fajr Salah, and the next morning, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed ghusl again out of honor for Makkatul Mukarramah. Then they returned from Makkah from the direction of Thaniyatil Ulya, Otherwise, it's known as Hajun graveyard. And seeing the Holy Kaaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited a dua, and that is, O Allah, Allahumma zid hadhal bayt tashreefa wa ta'zeema wa mahabata wa barra. That, O Allah, increase this house in honor, respect, awe, and goodness. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed Umrah first and then Hajj. According to narrations, the number of companions alayhim ridwan who had the honor of performing Hajj that year, you know how many they were? Around 124,000, or even more than this as well. Allahu Akbar. So Hajjatul Wida', the farewell Hajj, is a significant part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed biography, his blessed seerah. And you and I, we can learn an immense amount from it. This amazing and splendid event is actually a means by which you and I, we can rectify our core beliefs and refine our actions. So in this regard, it's mentioned that there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. It describes how Sayyidina Ibn al-Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that this convoy under the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling from Madinatul Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarrama, and along the way they came across a valley called Azraq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, which valley is this? And it was said that this is the valley of Azraq. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that I see Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, with his fingers over his ears and crossing this valley whilst reciting Talbiyyah. Sayyidina Ibn al-Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma then mentioned they went ahead until reaching a mountain pass, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that, what place is this? So the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the Harsha Pass. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that I see Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah, riding a red camel, and he is wearing a woolen garment. The camel's rein is made of date palm bark, and he is passing by whilst reciting the Talbiyyah. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What can be said about the excellences of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? You know, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he said regarding this, that as this was the final Hajj ever performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other prophets as well, the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they also attended in order to gain barakah, in order to gain blessings. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them with his own eyes during this. So subhanAllah, from this you and I, we come to know from this that the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, they are alive in their resting places, and they travel to wherever they want. We also come to know and we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted knowledge of the unseen to the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. They actually remain within their respective blessed graves in the realm of barzakh, and they are given news of what is happening in the world at that time. Remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went on the journey of Mi'raj, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam had already arrived at Masjid al-Aqsa to perform salah behind him. And during the farewell Hajj, they received this news that this was the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's visible lifetime. So they also came to receive the honor of performing Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now a hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah, it tells of how the companions alayhi ridwan, they asked that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will the salat we recite upon reach you after you pass away? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, Inna Allah harrama ala al-ardi an ta'akula ajsad al-anbiya'i. That indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden, haram, upon the earth to consume the bodies of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. And in another well-known hadith, which has been narrated by many, many hadith masters, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusallun. That the prophets, alayhi salatu wa salam, they are alive. They are alive in their graves. And they offer salah as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And there's also the views of Madani channel, another very beautiful and fascinating point. That is another amazing event took place during Hajjatul Wida', the farewell Hajj, which has both been mentioned and accepted as true by many hadith masters, scholars, and saints, rahimahumullah. Now, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she explains and she says that during the farewell Hajj, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by a certain place. I was with him at the time, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very sad. He was intensely sad, such that he was crying. He was shedding tears. And seeing him crying, I also began to cry. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stepped off his ride and went in a particular direction. And he said to me, Humaira, stay here. So Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that I proceeded to sit down and leaned against a camel. After some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned. And when he returned smiling and happy. And she says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. You were sad when you left, and yet now you are joyous, you are happy. What is the reason for this? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I went to the grave of my mother and I made dua, and Allah ta'ala brought her back to life. And she declared her faith in me and then returned to her grave. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The companion Sayyidina Urwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates from his father that Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she explained that indeed, through the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala granted life to Sayyidina Abdullah, the blessed father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And both of them, they accepted faith and returned to their graves. And one may ask that, is it possible? Is it really possible to give life to the dead? And for this, there is absolutely no doubt that Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, they are the most fortunate parents in the entire world, as they have the honor of being the parents of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is possible a thought could enter someone's heart as to how a person who has left this world can be brought back to life and then made to recite the kalima. Remember that it is not impossible for a person to be brought back to life in this world after their death. It is completely possible, and this has happened many, many times. There are so many examples of this in the Holy Quran. So the very event after which the second and longest surah in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, is named, contains mention people being brought back to life after death. Now, a person from Bani Israel was killed, and his killer could not be found. So news of this, it reached Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, upon which the Bani Israel, they were instructed to sacrifice a cow. And after they sacrificed a very specific cow, a piece of it was placed on the dead body. And by doing this, guess what happened? By doing this, the dead person came to life and even told the name of his killer. And there is a similar event explained in the Holy Quran, which shows how thousands of Bani Israel, they were granted life after death. In fact, it is a very, very well-known miracle of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam to give life to the dead. If he, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, can bring the dead to life with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what can be said regarding the greatness of the Imam of all the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, our master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, why would it be hard to understand the fact his parents were brought back to life by his dua? Without any doubt, and by the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought his parents back to life and had them recite the kalima. You know, somebody may think that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought his parents to life and had them recite the kalima. Does this mean that they were not Muslims before? Ma'adallah. So this is definitely not the case. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought his parents to life and then had them recite the kalima. But the purpose of this, it was not to make them Muslims, as they were already Muslims. During their blessed lifetimes, they affirmed the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were adherents of the way of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahimahullah and many other scholars, they say that in reality, the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bringing his blessed parents to life and having them recite the kalima was what? Was to make them among his companions alayhim ridwan. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the wisdom behind it. And this also occurred during the farewell hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, a hadith in Sahih Muslim, it's mentioned that Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that during Hajjatul Wida, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Mina and threw stones at the Jamaratul Aqaba. He performed his qurbani, his sacrifice, and then he returned to his place of stay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called for a barber and had his blessed head shaved starting from the right side. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the sacred hair to Sayyidina Abu Talha al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to have the hair on the left side cut and granted this to the same companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and then said that distribute all this hair amongst the people. Subhanallah, why was this distributed? Sheikh Azurqani rahimahullah, he mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed his best hair to the companions alayhim ridwan as a source of barakah, as a source of blessings, and sometimes to remember him by. You know, it was also as though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated towards his nearing departure by doing this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed his blessed hair, which teaches you and I, teaches us that he himself loved for his ummah to preserve his blessed belongings and relics, the barakat, and to take barakah from them, to take blessings from them. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them to his companions alayhim ridwan. And alhamdulillah, these companions alayhim ridwan, they greatly valued and respected these sacred relics. They kept them safe and continue to seek blessings from them and pass them on to the next generation. And they continued to be passed down. And alhamdulillah, today there are many, many lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who have the privilege of having the Baal Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their possession. Subhanallah. So this was the final hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered three farewell sermons during the Hajjatul Wida. One at Arafah, two at Mina. And in these sermons, in these lectures, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summarized the Islamic teachings. And through the companions alayhim ridwan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam issued guidance for the entire ummah. There are so much of advice. For example, take when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon in Mina, during which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the companions and asked that ayyu shahri hadha, which month is this? And it was clear that Hajj was taking place. It was the month of Dhul-Hijjah. But look at the etiquette. Look at the manners and the respect of the companions alayhim ridwan. They thought perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was intending to change the name of the month. So what did they reply? They said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. That Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they know better. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Alaysa Dhul-Hijjah? That is it not the month of Dhul-Hijjah? And the companions replied by saying, yes. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ayyu baladin hadha, which city is this? And the answer to this was also clear, as it is in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah that Hajj is performed. But the companions alayhim ridwan, they respectfully replied, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they know best. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, alaysa al-baladata, that is this not al-balada? Meaning this is another name for Makkah al-Mukarramah. And they all again replied by saying, yes. Then the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, ayyu yawmin hadha, what day is this? And this time, the companions alayhim ridwan, they replied, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, that alaysa yawm al-nahr, that is it not the day of Nahr? And they all said yes. After these beautiful questions and answers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then announced that indeed, just as this day, this city, and this month is sacrificed, so too is your blood, your wealth, and your honor haram for one another. Allahu Akbar. From this, you and I, we come to know the importance of the life, the wealth, and the honor of a Muslim. And scholars say at this point, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised the sanctity of a Muslim's life, of a Muslim's wealth and honor to the sanctity of Makkah al-Mukarramah. This means that a sin committed in Makkah during the days of Hajj, and whilst one is in the state of ihram, it amounts to a compilation of wrongdoings. This is due to the fact that it entails disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disrespecting Makkah al-Mukarramah, the days of Hajj, ihram, and a holy month. So in the same way, dishonoring a Muslim, causing undue harm to him, unlawfully withholding his wealth, this is also a collection of many, many crimes. Firstly, this involves the violation of the rights of a Muslim, hurting his feelings, which itself is an act of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also upsets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as his ummah is most, most beloved to him. Yet, if a person was to harm a member of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah, how could they think the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then love them? A hadith mentions that whoever harmed a Muslim has certainly harmed me. So from this beautiful advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you and I, we come to know that it is important, imperative for you and I to respect other Muslims, to honor other Muslims, not to degrade others, not to put another Muslim down, not to hurt the feelings of others, not to violate the rights of others. You know, the rights of people, hukukul ibad, is more severe than hukukullah, than the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if a person violates the rights of another Muslim, until that person does not forgive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive him. He has to go to the person whose rights he has violated, asking for maaf, asking for forgiveness, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive such a person. So it's important that we have to really, really control our tongue. We have to really think before we speak. We have to really know what to say, when to say, how to say, and where to say. We have to keep all of these things in measure, in precaution, because if by the slip of your tongue you say something and the next person gets offended, the next person gets hurt, how detrimental will that be? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught you and I about unity. He taught you and I how to live in peace and harmony. Like how when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated with his family, with his companions from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, those that were in Medina, they were two tribes, Aws and Khazraj, and they have been fighting for many, many years. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived there, those same people, they became known as the Ansar and the Muhajireen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Ansar and the Muhajirin brothers unto each other, to the extent that those Ansar companions, they actually told the Muhajirin brothers that half of my property, half of my home, half of my wealth, I give it to you. Look at how they displayed love and respect amongst each other. And this is the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving you and I during his final Hajj. So, with that being said, viewers of Madani Channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we do know, we are commemorating, we are celebrating the 1500th birth and milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward and rejuvenate our hearts, minds, body and soul in the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Marhaba ya Mustafa, marhaba ya Mustafa, marhaba ya Mustafa, marhaba ya Mustafa. Aqa ki aamad marhaba, data ki aamad marhaba, maula ki aamad marhaba, zisha ki aamad marhaba, taha ki aamad marhaba, yasi ki aamad marhaba, awwal ki aamad marhaba, aakhir ki aamad marhaba. محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو آج انبیاء کے سرور پر آج انبیاء کے سرور تشریف لا رہے ہیں تشریف لا رہے مرحبا محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو کیوں ہے فضا معطر کیوں روشنی ہے گھر گھر کیوں ہے فضا معطر کیوں روشنی ہے گھر گھر کیوں ہے فضا معطر کیوں روشنی ہے گھر گھر کیوں ہے فضا معطر کیوں روشنی ہے گھر گھر اچھا حبیب داور اچھا حبیب داور تشریف لا رہے ہیں تشریف لا رہے ہیں مرحبا محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو عیدوں کی عید آئی رحمت خدا کی لائی 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 جود و سخا کے پیکر جود و سخا کے پیکر تشریف لا رہے ہیں تشریف لا رہے ہیں مرحبا محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو آج انبیاء کے سرور پر آج انبیاء کے سرور تشریف لا رہے ہیں تشریف لا رہے ہیں مرحبا محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو ہوریں لگی ترانے نعتوں کے گنگنانے 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 حوروں ملک کے افسر حوروں ملک کے افسر تشریف لا رہے ہیں تشریف لا رہے ہیں مرحبا محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو عقا
farshiyon mubarak ae arshiyon mubarak ae farshiyon mubarak ae arshiyon mubarak ae farshiyon mubarak ae arshiyon mubarak ae farshiyon mubarak ae arshiyon mubarak dono jagah ke sarwar dono jagah ke sarwar تشریف لا رہے ہیں
تشریف لا رہے
مرحبا
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو
آج انبیاء کے سرور پر آج انبیاء کے سرور تشریف لا رہے ہیں
تشریف لا رہے ہیں
مرحبا
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں جو محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو اے بے کسو مبارک اے بے بسو مبارک 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 اب غمزدوں کے یاور اب غمزدوں کے یاور تشریف لا رہے ہیں
تشریف لا رہے
مرحبا
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو
عطار اب خوشی سے پھولا نہیں سماتا 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 دنیا میں اس کے سرور دنیا میں اس کے سرور تشریف لا رہے ہیں
تشریف لا رہے ہیں
مرحبا
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے ہیں
جو
آج انبیاء کے سرور پر آج انبیاء کے سرور تشریف لا رہے ہیں
تشریف
مرحبا
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے
جو
محبوب رب اکبر تشریف لا رہے
جو
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ I'm sure this is increasing our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by listening to this melodious and beautiful kalam in the praises of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, we are making preparations for the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, in which we will be celebrating, commemorating the 1500th birth and milad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant us all the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have mentioned there were so many companions alayhim ridwan that participated in this farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard of the amount, and that was approximately 124,000 companions, or even more than that as well. Allahu Akbar. And just before we could go and listen to this Quran, we have mentioned a very beautiful advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he told you and I, informed us of how to respect one another. Now moving forward, the other advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given was with regards to human equality. You know, after thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he announced that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed states that, O people, we have created you from one man and one woman. We have fashioned you into various nations and tribes so you may recognize one another. لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may recognize one another. And certainly in the sight of Allah, the most honorable of you is he who possesses the most piety. Allahu Akbar. And he went further on to say that an Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, and a non-Arab has no superiority over an Arab, nor does someone black have superiority over someone white, nor does someone white have superiority over someone black, except on the basis of piety. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Look at what a beautiful constitution Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has laid. This is in fact a human constitution laid down by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from this we see that there is no racism in Islam. There is nothing of that sort. Human equality is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about. That we should not be judgmental of others. We should not be boasting about ourselves over others. No, because all of that, it does not really mean anything. It doesn't even carry any weight at all. It is completely weightless. And on top of that, it's a waste of energy and a waste of time as well. To go around town and saying that, oh, I am like this and I am like that. I have this kind of a house and my pockets are heavy. My bank balance is shining. And you know, all the others, they are inferior and I am very superior. That doesn't mean anything, because at the end of the day, each and every single one of us, whether rich, whether poor, whether black, white, pink, blue, yellow, whatever it may be, everyone is going to be buried. Everyone is going to go under the ground. Everyone is going, we all are going to be tied up in our coffin. So what point is there to having this feeling, the sense of pride and this egotistic feeling about ourselves? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that from this context, we understand that there is no racism in Islam. You know, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when it comes to piety, that is where others are better than other people. Piety is the yardstick. Piety is the criteria. And that is where we have to look. If we see someone pious, then we must aspire to be like that person. That, you know what, I also want to be like him. I also want to perform all my 5 times daily salah. MashaAllah, he reads Quran. I also want to recite the Holy Quran. He is giving charity. I also want to give charity. When we look in that light, when we look in that perspective, then you are treading on the right path. Otherwise, if not, then a person is treading on a wrong path. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he further explained that you have specific rights over your woman, and they have specific rights over you. Your rights over your woman, they include them not being unchaste, and to not allow whomever you dislike to enter the home. And he said that your woman have the right to be fed and clothed well. Allahu Akbar. Today when we look around us, why do we see, you know, some couples, they get married and then they end up in divorce. Some get married and then 1 month down the line, they end up in divorce. Sometimes even 1 week and they end up in divorce. 3 months and they end up in divorce. Why is it so rampant? Why is it so quick nowadays? And the simple answer to it can be that they have not learned the rights of each other. They have not learned how to respect each other. They have not learned how to understand one another, how to compromise, how to sacrifice, how to understand and have this quality of empathy where you put yourself into the shoes of others. They have not learned this. And hence we see that today, divorce is just flying around just like that everywhere, as if it is nothing. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving you and I an advice. He is guiding us that we have rights over our wives, and women have rights over their husbands as well. So this is something that you and I must take into consideration and learn our deen. Because this, when a person makes nikah, when a person marries, then it is obligatory for him, it is fard and compulsory for him to learn about marriage, to learn about nikah, to learn about the rights of the wife, to learn about the rights of the husband. All of this has been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he relates that while sitting on his camel, Qaswa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delivered a sermon on the day of Arafah. And he said, "O people, I am leaving amongst you that which if you hold to, you will never ever fall into misguidance. And that is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my family, the Ahlul Bayt." And in another narration, it's mentioned, the book of Allah, the Holy Quran, and my Sunnah. This is what you and I have to hold on to. And subhanAllah, this beautiful, fragrant organization of Dawat-e Islami is a movement of the Quran and Sunnah. So if a person holds on to this, then a person will not fall into misguidance. Because when a person has the Quran, follows the commands in the Holy Quran, and has the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follows the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and teaches it to others as well, that person will attain success in this world, in the Qabr, and in the hereafter. And do you know that after the Hajjatul Wida', the farewell Hajj, on the 30th of Safar, at the house of Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for 13 days, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill. He was ill during this duration. And do you know, in that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful piece of advice, and that was that perform your salah on time and treat your slaves well. Don't overburden your slaves. Treat them with love. Treat them with muhabbah. And it's mentioned also that during the illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever dinars or whatever wealth that he had, approximately around 7, he gave all of it for charity, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he had. Narrations say that approximately 7 dinars or so he had. And he even gave all of that in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for charity. That shows you and I that we must also give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give charity, help those who are poor, help those who are destitute, who are needy, and you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies your wealth for you, how Allah ta'ala places barakah and blessings in your wealth. Until next time, stay wise, stay kind, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Marhaban ya Mustafa, the grand arrival of Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grand arrival of Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مرحبا يا مصطفى